Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scriptures. This week that I'm recording this podcast episode is Holy Week, and I thought one thing that would be an important thing for us to reflect on is that the gospel accounts of the crucifixion of Christ give us, in a very compact way, a picture of both possible paths of human eternal destiny. And we find these wrapped up during a six-hour window in which Christ is on the cross and is crucified between two thieves or robbers. I've heard the term may very well be insurrectionists. For lack of a better term, they're definitely criminals who are being crucified under Roman law. And that what happens in these next 6 hours, which involves Christ and involves these two robbers, is a small picture of what human eternal destiny looks like. First, I want to point out that the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross for 6 hours, not three. I've heard a few people over the years mention, no, Jesus was only on the cross for 3 hours, and that's not the case based on what the scriptures itself happen to describe. I'm looking here at the Gospel of Mark for verification for that. If we take a look at the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we can find where we find Christ being on the cross for not 3 but 6 hours. In Mark chapter 15, verse 25, we find that the Lord Jesus is crucified during the third hour of the day. And the way that Mark is presenting time is that the time is being given starting from dawn of the day, which would be around 6 a.m. by the way we tell time. So the Lord Jesus is crucified at the third hour, which is 9 a.m., and then a few verses later in the same gospel. So we're not taking a look at potential for one gospel writer having one way of measuring time and another gospel writer using a different scale. It's Mark in both cases. In Mark chapter 15, verse 33, we find that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness across the land. So we find that by our time scale, that would be noon to 3 p.m., which would mean that the Lord Jesus was on the cross for not 3 but 6 hours. Some have argued that what I'm about to discuss is an indication of something of a contradiction within the gospel accounts. I don't think it is. Matter of fact, it's not something that requires a lot of verbal gymnastics or having to go through some special pleading or explanations in order to try to make things fit. Keeping in mind that in the gospel accounts, we believe that for not only the gospels, but also all of the books of scripture, that the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the writers to speak. So we would not find a contradiction that's built into these. However, it does indicate some progress that happens over these 6 hours. So what we're going to be looking at is something of a development rather than a contradiction. What we have here as we take a look at these accounts is something of a wonderful picture of what happens with human destinies. It gives us a very compact picture of either way that a human eternal destiny can go. Let's take a look at the people who are involved with this account. The following texts help to paint the picture. First, we know that there were two robbers crucified along with Christ. In Mark chapter 15, verse 27, we read, "And with him were crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left." We also understand that at some point in those 6 hours, we find that both robbers were verbally abusing Christ. In Mark chapter 15, verse 32, we read, "Those who were crucified with him also reviled him." However, we later find that one of the two criminals has a change of heart. We find that in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. "One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said to Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Our tale of three crosses starts with what we see from these two robbers who are crucified alongside Christ. Both of them start out reviling Christ, hostile to him, implicitly sinners who haven't given up the evil that they've done that put them on that Roman cross that they're on. And yet, as we're taking a look at the gospel accounts, we find that one has a change of heart and the other one doesn't. And it's a wonderful picture for all of us, for all of humanity, that the two choices that you see on the cross among those robbers are the same kind of choices every single human being has ever faced, faces now, or will ever face. There is no third option, no morally neutral human for whom when death happens, it's simply the end of existence and nothing goes on. One's either going to go to heaven, or literally the new heavens and the new earth, or going into hell, the lake of fire that's mentioned specifically in the book of Revelation. Those are the two choices, and we see them encapsulated in that six-hour window on Calvary almost 2,000 years ago. As Holy Week unfolds with Good Friday coming up, as well as Easter Sunday, and what I'm going to ask you to do is reflect on what I've spoken about now. And these are not just Holy Week or Easter time reflections. These are valid reflections on life and eternity, no matter what time of the year it is. So I'd like you to think about these things. For those who have not yet come to Christ, please understand, you are currently in a state of rebellion against him. As a result, God's wrath, the wrath that he had on you for the sins that you have committed, for your living out, so to speak, your sinful fallen nature, which we inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, that the wrath that God will bring down for that sin remains. And if that is not turned away from, if you have not turned to Christ in faith, not only for caring for you for this life, but in the life to come, what awaits you is eternal separation from the one who made you. And please understand how we were designed. We were not designed to be apart and separate from our Creator. I can't begin to imagine the agony that that would be. So my earnest plea to you is, think on these things and turn to Christ in faith. He wants you to be a part of his kingship into eternity. The second thing I'm going to ask is for those who currently are believers. I ask that you will take this time to reflect on what the Lord Jesus has done, not only on Good Friday, but also on Easter Sunday. On Good Friday, he paid the penalty for our sins. Now, don't just think of it as a collective, that you're one of the many members of a large crowd. Well, in a sense, you are. I want you to think in terms of reflection for yourself, that your sin was carried by Christ on the cross, your individual sin. And it's a reminder of what you have been freed from, that the price for that sin has been paid for by Christ in his suffering and in his blood. And this was done not only for us, it was done for you. Please think on these things. I also want you to think in terms of reflecting on what happens on the day of resurrection. We find an extended treatise on resurrection in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And what we find there is the strong link between Christ's resurrection from the dead and our eventual resurrection from the dead. It's a reminder that because Christ rose, we will rise also. Paul has a rather interesting way in 1 Corinthians of saying that if we don't rise, Christ wouldn't have risen. Remember, Christ is rising as a human being. He's now a glorified human being as well as fully God, of course. point I want to bring out here is that there's this link between Christ and his resurrection and our eventual resurrection in the future. Scripture is clear that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, it would have been one thing to say, I'm going to pay for the sins of my people and leave it at that. Christ's resurrection ensures that we gain the benefit of that payment by now having eternal life with him. I'd like you to consider these things as Good Friday and Easter Sunday come upon us. And again, please feel free to go back to this any time of the year. These reflections, these thoughts are just as valid 6 months from now as they are right now during Holy Week. And I pray that you will have a reflective Good Friday and a blessed Easter Sunday.